7th of March, 1974. Paul Cummings talking to Judith Hyler Richardson in the Sonnenberg Gallery in Madison Avenue. You were born in Newport, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you grew up there. And did you go to schools with brothers and sisters? Was there art interest at home? Or
no.
Literature, music, anything like that? I mean, it's, you know, some kind of background, how you got into all of this, so you just didn't spring, boom, there she was. So, could you,
well,
specific question?
As a child, I was involved in something called the Preservation Society in Newport. Everybody in Newport is very involved.
Oh, right.
I was very involved around 19, from 48 on, in the Preservation Society, because Rockefeller had come to Newport and had offered to do for Newport what he did for Williamsburg.
Right.
And my family was got very involved with the restoration and renovation of the 18th century houses,
mm-hmm.
mainly because the Metropolitan Museum came to Newport, and
mm-hmm.
there was a house called the Hunter House, and they had offered, I think it was something extraordinary, like at the time, like $300,000 for the paneling.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman by the name of Mrs. George Henry Warren, who by the
mm-hmm.
way has a rather fine non-objective collection,
yeah.
Mondrian, Arp, things like
mm-hmm.
that, got. But she was one of the founding members of the Museum of Modern Art on the original board, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think. I know she was involved with Sydney on the Museum of Modern
mm-hmm.
Art in the early days.
Oh, she might have been on that advisory council.
At
right?
the beginning.
Yeah.
In the beginning
very
days.
Early.
And she really took everybody by the hair of their head and sort
mm-hmm.
of said, okay, now we've got to
mm-hmm.
get going. And people worked very hard on it. So that was really my only introduction to art, other than the art that I saw around, which
mm-hmm.
was very fine Goddard and Townsend furnishings.
Mm-hmm.
I saw certainly no contemporary art,
mm-hmm.
no modern art whatsoever, except
mm-hmm.
for a few pieces that she had. People did not have them out.
Mm-hmm.
The collections in Newport, for the most part, were what one expected, Van Eyck's
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
Titian here and there, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of crummy Italian Renaissance paintings,
right.
maybe an occasional Piero della Francesca or something
mm-hmm.
thrown in, which was by accident. But
oh.
I had, in Providence, there was really, that Museum of Art really wasn't doing very much other
mm-hmm.
than the kind of shows that
mm-hmm.
one always expected, you know, an impressionist show every now and then.
Right.
My family were not at all interested in art, but
mm-hmm.
they were very interested in the preservation of the arts and furnishings of the 18th
mm-hmm.
century in Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I
were they interested in decorative arts?
Yes, decorative arts for the
yeah.
most part. But not even that much. It was mainly
mm-hmm.
the community end of it, you know, being
mm-hmm.
involved in saving it for the community.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? It's civic minded.
Yes, more civic.
Yeah.
And I went to Swarthmore. Swarthmore, of course, had absolutely no connection with art whatsoever. The only
mm-hmm.
art course that I took at Swarthmore was one of those things where you spent an hour on Giacometti from Cézanne to Giacometti in 1 hour, you know,
right.
maybe a brief mention of Pollock. But
right.
no, I don't even think they mentioned Pollock.
Yeah.
But it was when I went to Paris in 1959 or 60 and was going around to different
mm-hmm.
galleries.
Mm-hmm.
And I was writing a column for the Herald Tribune at the time as a student in Paris.
For the New York
For the New York
Herald,
Herald
right.
Tribune, one of those silly columns, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What a young girl does in Paris, sort of thing. Again,
now,
very arbitrary.
How did, you know, tell me about Swarthmore. Why did you go on there?
I went to Swarthmore because I had won without applying a full scholarship to Pembroke, and I had no intention of going,
mm-hmm.
what was it, 30 miles away from Newport.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to go to Barnard, and my father wouldn't hear of it. And Business Week had just ranked Swarthmore as the number one school academically in the country. Which obviously was based
right.
on some foolish rating, like 99% went on to graduate school or something.
Right.
And
right.
he also thought it was a nice Quaker school.
Right.
He was most distressed when he saw the school, because Swarthmore, in very
mm-hmm.
early, as you may know, was a
mm-hmm.
very early beatnik hippie kind of
mm-hmm.
place.
Right.
Which, as my father would say, an awful pinko school. And he was only too pleased to try and get me out of there, actually.
Yeah.
Also, very frankly, Paul, I had never worked hard academically in my
mm-hmm.
life, and I had to work very, very hard there
mm-hmm.
in order to maintain
mm-hmm.
an A average, because everybody, for the most part, was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a National Merit Scholar, but that didn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Those
what did you go on there to study?
Please?
What had you gone there to study? I mean, what did you have
I
a major in mind? Or
yes, English.
English, yeah.
For the most part, English,
mm-hmm.
which I got right out of and wasn't going to do at all. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the school was so set up for honors programs and for running, the 4-minute mile mind-wise, every 4 minutes of
mm-hmm.
the day, that it was an intense